chapter 45 to 48. Brethren, all of you are lovers of strife and full of zeal about things which do not pertain to salvation. Study the writings, which are the true utterances of the Holy One. Observe that nothing of an unrighteous nor a counterfeit character is written in them. You will not find that righteous men were expelled by sacred men. Righteous men were persecuted, but instead only by lawless men. They were cast into prison, but instead only by the unholy. They were stoned, but only by lawbreakers. They were killed, but instead only by accursed men who had conceived a stained and unrighteous jealousy against them. Although exposed to such sufferings, they endured them famously. For what shall we say, brethren? Was Daniel cast into a lion's den by those who feared God? Were Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael shut up in a furnace of fire by those who observed the great and glorious religious rites of the Most High? Far be it! Therefore, who were those who did such things? They were loathsome men, and those who were filled with all evil, who were roused to such a pitch of fury that they encompassed with torment those who served God in a sacred and blameless intention. They did not know that the Most High is the defender and shielder of those who serve His all-excellent name with a clean conscience. To whom be the glory to the ages of the ages. Amen. But those who endured with confidence are now heirs of glory and honor, having been both exalted and made illustrious by God in His memorial to the ages of the ages. Amen. Therefore, brethren, it is proper that we should adhere to examples such as these. For it is written, adhere to the holy ones, because those who adhere to them shall be made holy. And again, in another place, it says, with the innocent man you shall be innocent, and with an elect man you shall be elect, and with the perverse man you shall be perverse. Therefore, let us adhere to the innocent and righteous. But these are the elect ones of God. Why are there rivalries and furies and dissensions and divisions, also wars among you? Do we not have one God and one anointed one? And is there not one spirit of the favor poured out upon us? And is there not one calling in the anointed one? Why do we wrench and tear apart the members of the anointed one and form sedition against our own body, and reach such a height of madness as to forget that we are members one of another? Remember the discourses of Jesus our Lord, how He spoke, woe to that man! It is better for him that he had never been born than that he should cast a stumbling block before one of my elect ones. Yes, it is better for him that a millstone should be hung about him and that he should be cast into the depths of the sea, than that he should cast a stumbling block before one of my elect ones. Your division has perverted many, has thrown many into despair and doubt, has caused all of us to grieve, and your sedition continues. Take up the letter of the blessed Paulos, the envoy. What did he write to you at the beginning of the good message? Truly, he spiritually sent a letter to you about both himself and Apollos, because even then, factions had been formed among you. Instead, that inclination for one above another entailed less guilt upon you, for you were partisans of highly reputed envoys and of men who have been approved by them. But at the present, consider who are those who have perverted you, diminishing the solemnity of your famous brotherly love. It is disgraceful, beloved, yes, even disgraceful, and unworthy of the conduct in the Anointed One, to hear that the most steadfast and ancient assembly of the Corinthians should, on account of one or two persons, engage in sedition against its elders. And this report has not only reached us, but instead, even to those who are leaning in a different direction than us. The result is, through your senselessness, even the name of the Lord is brought to revilement, while danger is brought upon yourselves. Therefore, let us remove this with all haste, and let us fall down before the Master and beseech him with tears that he would generously be reconciled to us and restore to us the solemn and pure practice of brotherly love. For in this way, a gate of righteousness is opened for an attainment of life, as it is written, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter through them, praising the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord. Righteous men shall enter in through it. Therefore, although many gates have been set open, the one in righteousness is the one in the Anointed One. All those who have entered by this gate and have directed their way in sacredness and righteousness are blessed, performing everything without disorder. Let a man be faithful. Let him be able to tell of deep knowledge. Let him be wise in discerning accounts. Let him be vigorous in works. Let him be pure. The greater he seems to be, so much more ought he to be humble-minded. And he ought to seek the common good of everyone, and not merely himself.